I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest this week is Dr. Ivan Figueroa Otero, FACS, FAAMA, a practicing physician and author. After graduating from the School of Medicine of the University of Puerto Rico in 1970, Dr. Figueroa Otero trains as general surgeon at the University Hospital in the University of Puerto Rico School of Medicine, integrating a one-year fellowship in the studies of cancer and 1 year in experimental research postgraduate studies in pediatric surgery, then followed at Miami Children's Hospital and the San Juan Municipal Hospital. Looking for non-surgical or less invasive options for pediatric conditions, Dr. Figueroa Otero explores Eastern philosophies that emphasize a holistic concept of disease. He was one of the first physicians to become certified in medical acupuncture in Puerto Rico, training in traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture with professors from the University of Seville. Eventually, he was certified in medical acupuncture. Nationally, in 2009, he became certified in anti-aging medicine, and in December of that year, he retired from the practice of pediatric surgery, focusing instead on a holistic medical practice and emphasizing disease prevention and modification of lifestyles. In 2011, he was invited to become a trustee of the American Board of Medical Acupuncture, which is the national body organization responsible for certifying physicians in the field of acupuncture through national exams. In the same year, he was recognized in Natural Awakening magazine as a Holistic Physician of the Year. Dr. Figueroa Otero is currently engaged in his private practice and continues in his role as an educator, trying to achieve full integration of traditional Chinese acupuncture courses in the curriculum of medical schools, promoting that physicians be certified both locally and nationally, and to establish clinical research in protocols on the use of acupuncture in known conditions compared to the methodologies established by modern medicine. Another immediate priority is to incorporate meditation techniques and their role in preventive and therapeutic medicine. He has authored many books, including Spirituality 103, The Forgiveness Code. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Figueroa, and I look forward to hearing about holistic health, spirituality, and forgiveness. Now, first, what are the steps we can take to improve our physical health that will also boost our mental state of mind?
Hi, Carl. First, let me thank you for inviting me here. I'm very proud and honored by you. I read your resume, and it's you're a very, very important person in the life of people and people who are sick. I congratulate you on what you've been doing in your life.
Thank you.
And at 86, you're still going at it, so I really feel proud to have an interview with you. Now, the best thing is we have to, since I believe in the mind, body, spirit balance, the first thing we have to do is get our body into shape. And that shape means getting to physically, you got to feed them the best nutrition. And make sure this nutrition will fix up your body to be ready to receive, to let the mind connect with the spirit. To make the connection with the spirit, the mind has to be clear. The emotions have to be clear and not tainted by fear and those things that we've been taught wrongly. And it will not allow you to connect to your spirit. So the first is make the physical body in good shape, let the mind work well, and let the mind connect yourself with the spirit. Mm-hmm. My own bias is that we have to be vegetarian. That's my bias.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm a strict vegan.
Mm-hmm.
I use this theory in my patients, and I see it improve. I believe just by changing that basic nutrition, you can change your genome, your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
One of my next books is going to be The Cancer in Our Genes. And I specified that this comes from the inheritance we got from past lifestyles of our previous generations that we carry it on to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were able with bad lifestyles to alter the genes, why can I just not alter my life with lifestyles and make better genes? It's called epigenetics now.
Mm-hmm.
No feel of going on. So I believe physical nutrition quality is the first thing we have to do, Carl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then can you tell us the connection between faith, the placebo effect, and healing?
Okay, I like to use the term faith and placebo, but I don't use placebo in the despective mode our colleagues use it.
Mm-hmm.
I find placebo is the facilitator that activates the faith principle. The faith principle is a natural healing mode that every human being and body organism has. And we know by many studies that there are things that activate the cancer-killing effects that increases our immune system. I believe faith has a manner to increase and facilitate and empower this healing system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need the facilitator. The facilitation is that we have to connect, to understand, to be aware that we are light beings within a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
The basically is a message of the Bible. The Son of God within the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all repeating the Bible experience in ourselves. And if there was a person who showed faith, was Jesus Christ. He showed within the realm of the limitation of being a human being that he maintained faith, his connection to the source of the Spirit, and gave us a way to live a quality of life. And no matter where we ended, we knew where we... First, we taught us this. We know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we are supposed to be doing here and where we're going to. Those three components are very important. We got to have a life purpose that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You have an immense life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some love lessons in the way. Your greatest love lesson, Carl, was your cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at yourself before and after, it's a different Carl.
Right.
Right?
Right, definitely.
And I look at myself in my love lessons, I become a more bright and beautiful person.
Mm-hmm.
As I've gone through my love lessons, which people call suffering or punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, that was your turning point. And then you find your goal from then on.
Mm-hmm.
So what a most beautiful experience have you had than your cancer?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Carl?
I agree. Right. Yeah. Then how can we discover our universal life purposes without a codependent relationship to money, education, religion, politics, and drugs?
Okay. I will explain that with one single phrase from my book. You mm-hmm. have to learn with your feet on the earth, but your eyes on the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Basically is, give Caesar what Caesar, give God what God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a balance between our lives. This is a biological experience, which is good because it's the way God enjoys his creative process.
Mm-hmm.
By seeing man go through the life experience, he enjoys what he created. He understands.
Mm-hmm.
And by letting man become a co-creator, be responsible by his free will and add to his creation, polish it. It's like, you know, he gives us a little carbon piece and we make it a diamond with our effort.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't have the effort to polish that thing, we cannot make the diamond in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's a balance. If you think happiness and joyfulness will be given you by material things, just look around yourself and look at the experience of people. Look at all those movie stars, all those famous rock stars, and see how they ended up drugging themselves, being unhappy, because they never changed inwardly. They never felt, they always were empty, empty of spirit. They never enriched their spirit. They always stayed as poor in spirit, like the Bible says. And we have to enrich our inner by realizing it comes from the inside. Then we go outside and become creative, be scientific, do what you did, write books, help other people, do beautiful paintings, do beautiful masterpieces, enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not my purpose. My purpose is to make my inner world come outside and be shared, because we're all sharing our creation. We're all sons of the Spirit. We're all sons of God.
I think there has to be some sort of a balance, as you said, because I think about, I go to a church and the people are just wonderful. They're not into money. They're not into power. They're not into any of these things. And the ceiling is falling down in the chapel. The kitchen is leaking. There's all kinds of problems. And I said to them one day, I said, you know, I said, I love y'all because you're not into money. You're not into power. But your ceiling is falling down in the chapel. The kitchen is leaking, etc. And you know how to create. You know how to resolve these problems. And so why don't you? So they need to be a little bit into the outer in order to solve the problem so they can continue with their inner. So it's a balance, right? That's what you said.
It's right. You have to have your feet on the ground with your eyes in the heaven. And you can't. It reflects your nature. The way you dress, you don't have to dress fancily.
Right.
You have to be clean.
Right.
And organized, and you have to press your stuff and look clean, and it's bad balance. It's the way it is. If you take care of your body, you brush your teeth, you clean up, you clean your enemas, whatever you do in your life, that's taking care of the physical aspect of the outer you, not just the inner you. But if you were to go into a retreat and go and grow your beard, don't wash up, and you become bum-like or vagabond-like, and then the outer reflection, people will not see the beauty that you have acquired. And then nobody will be able to imitate or follow your steps in your testimony.
You talk about spiritual DNA. What is that?
Yes. Well, the DNA, we already know that DNA is very complex. And we know about epigenetics. We can modify our DNA. And I am speculating, I have enough research evidence to write about this in the future. It's called our regular DNA, the one that works in coding and controls our organism. It's about only the coding DNA is about 5% of the total. 95% of our DNA, they call it junk DNA. This junk DNA, they are starting to see that it's not such a junk. It's got a lot of things. This non-coding DNA is the, like it facilitates, organizes the way the other one works. So it's really in control. So I see that this DNA, this 95%, is what I call our spiritual DNA. It belongs to the spirit. It's antimatter. The same way that antimatter is 95% and matter is 5%, I see that this non-coding DNA is our spiritual DNA. And these are two long memories. These have two histories. There's humans, biological history, and there's the spiritual history of the universe, which is God's creation. And both are connected. But to be able to be creative, you have to keep in contact with the spiritual DNA. And that's our purpose, to someday, and we have to improve our biological DNA to become to a point that it can blend well with that spiritual DNA. Then we become the new men of the Bible. The new Christ, where we have balance in both things. We have the physical and balance with the spiritual. That's the way. I'm going to be writing about that in the future.
Great, good. Then you talk about the forgiveness code. And can you tell us what that is? and how can we embrace it to eliminate guilt?
It's based on the most beautiful phrases from the Bible. When Jesus is ready to let go, physically he was suffering. And it was at the end, he says, "Please, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what to do."
Mm-hmm.
For me, that in many years, I never understood that phrase,
mm-hmm.
Carl. It was difficult for me. As a young man, it made me angry. I don't know about you. And I just didn't understand. As I went through different stages, I became agnostic, and then I studied other religions, and then I studied Buddhism. And then I learned a little bit about Buddhism, what Jesus meant in the cross, is mm-hmm. that men are ignoring their own lineage. Mm-hmm. What the people down there didn't know about Jesus, that they were their brother, spiritual brother, and they were sons of the same God. So if they did not realize the connection of lineage between them, they could not treat Jesus the right way. They found Jesus to be an enemy, a revolutionary, a changer of religions, a blasphemic individual in their beliefs. So then they would attack them, but they didn't recognize the lineage of spirit between them. That's the reason for forgiveness. We forget that all of us are in the same boat. That who is free of sin, throw the first stone. Now, I haven't seen anybody free of sin in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that we are all human in our organized nature, our physical nature, and that humanity makes us friable and makes us prone to make mistakes. But the big thing about free will is that the capacity to make mistakes makes us learners
mm-hmm.
and achievers mm-hmm. and makers of new options. It's a learning phase. I become wiser if I make more mistakes because mm-hmm. I learn not to make them again.
Mm-hmm.
So the accumulation of our mistakes is how we become wise beings. And we have to forgive the component of our mistakes because later, 20 years later, when I look back at my mistakes, I see them as love lessons like you are seeing yours. At that time, if you go back to that experience you had, remember those days when you had the diagnosis, how you felt? You could have felt the loneliest person in the world. And many questions came to your mind as why? Why this happened to me? And it becomes hard to accept those experiences and what you went through as love lessons at the time. But now when you look back,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's very easy to understand them. But at the time of our experience, they are very difficult things to understand. So forgiveness is based on the fact that we have to forgive ourselves, our humanity, our capacity to do mistakes, our capacity to sin, because we do not understand what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the actions I did during my life, I've hurt many people. As a physician, as a husband, as a father, I've mm-hmm. hurt many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it because I did not know it was happening.
Right.
Many times later, good communication, and then realizing how I affected other beings when it happened to me in my own skin. Then I said, I made a boo-boo here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am real sorry about this. Then you walk up to the person. I said, you know, years ago I did something to you. It was incredible. I am so ashamed. I am ashamed. Mm-hmm. Will you forgive me? Because I have to forgive myself. And then there's the communication skill. There's an awareness. There's an empathy. When you become empathic,
mm-hmm.
that everybody can make mistakes, and you understand the way they see you, they can also misjudge you.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't recognize the light in my own being, they're going to treat me wrongly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it. So the forgiveness code is understanding
mm-hmm.
that all our mistakes are love lessons of learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
One thing I've found is that if you don't learn the lesson from an experience, a similar experience is going to occur over and over and over until you learn
yes.
the lesson.
You just read my book, my first book.
No.
My first book was Spirituality 101
mm-hmm.
with a dropout of the School of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, our universal school is a big classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And in this classroom, we're all in different levels of learning. Some are in first grade, some are in fifth grade, some are in advanced grade. And we have to be patient with each other. First, we have to learn for the ones above us because they've already been there. Let's not think that we know more than them. You have to learn. And then you have to pass this information down to the lower ones because you were there once. That chain of command of compassion and love is the learning school. And we have to understand that when we make a mistake, the universal professor, God, will let us take again and again and again and again the test. And because all he wants is for you to learn. He doesn't want you to punish. So basically, it's a never-ending learning experience, life. So basically, you're right. You're going to get it, and you're going to get it until you learn. That's the way it is.
And I think there's two ways to look at an experience. One will cause illness, and the other doesn't. And two ways are, why am I having this? Woe is me, et cetera, et cetera. And the other is, God has been kind enough to give me this experience. Now, what am I supposed to learn from this?
Right. The same thing is in my book. I say, why change the pronoun? Why God? Why God? This for me? Change the pronoun to what is the purpose in this in my life? It's the understanding that the intelligence of God sees the universe in a more ample way than you. And he knows what will be your experience to grow. Each one of our sons, when we raise them, we treat them differently. Because each has a different personality.
Right.
Some I have to spoil it a bit. They're sensitive. They can't make it by themselves. And some I got to give them a big hand because they're so strong. They think they can do everything right. So I treat them differently. So God is the same way with his sons, daughters. He adjusts to our needs, and I have to believe that. And then there's a phrase from my book, for the best students, God has the most difficult test. That's exactly what you just said. He gives you what you need, not what you want.
Now,
it's hard to learn that.
How do you help patients resolve the anger and forgive others?
I have the forgiveness code exercise in my, it's a long one. Basically, you have to liberate many mental prisons you make for ourselves. We have been able to chain up. When we have a suffering experience that is disagreeable, we repress it into the subconscious area. And psychiatric theory tells you that you could repress the emotions. I disagree with that. You repress the person with the emotion. So what happens is we split our lives with those difficult experiences, and we freeze them in time. And we leave them in our subconscious past, in our present. And they feel trapped and unloved and mistreated by ourselves. So it's part of ourselves that we have left behind. And what I do, I teach people to liberate that past person in their life. When you liberate it and you let him understand that you do understand that he could not do anything better that he did, we forgive them. And then we ask for forgiveness for what we did. There comes a living experience. You have to read that. It's a beautiful, it's a beautiful exercise. What you do is you put him up to date. You take him out of your jail in your subconscious. You tell him the rest of the story. And then they come up to your present time. You heal them. And they feel loved and, again, complete. And then you feel like, I've seen it in my office. Carl, they heal almost immediately from their son. Their phobias go. Their anxiety go away, their dreams go away, they heal. They heal. I've seen that happen in my life. It works very well. So you'll see that in my book, The Forgiveness Code. And it's a beautiful exercise.
I have a little affirmation that I use, and I think that often when we get angry at someone, it's because we're not allowing them to be them, but we're trying to make them the way we want them to be. And so the little affirmation I use is, I forgive you for not being the way I want you to be. I forgive you, and I set you free. And it seems to work. You know, if you use this over and over enough, eventually you're able to.
Yes, I tend to forgive myself for trying to impose my views upon other beings, because I have to understand that the universe is so complex and ample that all views are okay. We can't. The universe is shareable, and all views are correct, but they're complementary. If they're made with a love intention, if the intention is love, what makes you make that action, it will be complementary to others' intentions. It will never be opposing. But even the opposing views, which are not made with intention, I have to understand them. Mm-hmm. That's forgiveness, or they do not know what they do. And then I have to leave them the space to learn by their own lesson.
Right.
So I let them go.
And that's another difficult thing to do, is to allow people the space, because often you can see the outcome of people's behavior. And if it's someone that you love, you don't want them to have to go through that. But a lot of times people only learn by having their own experience. So we can't take that away from them.
Then I have to quote the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you review the prodigal son, there's the message.
Mm-hmm.
He let the prodigal son learn by his experience.
Mm-hmm.
He learned to value the spiritual inheritance versus the material inheritance. When he left his home, he didn't value the spiritual inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
He took off to enjoy life, and he learned that the life experience was associated with money and power would go away when the money goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that suffering made, in that lesson of love, the prodigal son realized, I had everything I needed in my father's home.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then he walks back and he finds forgiveness and understanding that he had it all the time with him, the spiritual inheritance, which is the one that really should guide us in our life.
It sounds like you have taken a lot of the Buddhist belief and related those to the Bible. Is that correct?
Yes, it's very correct. I learned to understand the Bible when I studied Buddhism. And it's incredible because mm-hmm. I was there, but I could not understand it. So Buddhism did something for me to be more self-introspection to myself, to be more kind to myself,
mm-hmm.
to be more less defiant, because it was more of a mind training and awareness of my own actions. And then when I came back, the message of the Bible was given. My mom read the Bible to me, I don't know how many times. From 3 to 7 years old, she would rub me and read me the Bible. That's only pop, 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 pop. Everything that I just said to you came from that.
Mm-hmm.
I see a new view is there. So mm-hmm. I use Christianity to write my book, but I use Buddhism. Mm-hmm. I use Taoism. I use Chinese medicine. It's all part of the big pack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how has these shaped your views, your Chinese medicine and your pediatric surgery?
I am a better, receptive, empathic human being that has learned to forgive myself and allow a big space for my patients to find their healing code.
Mm-hmm.
And find the faith to heal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's mm-hmm. what I do.
Now, let me ask you, when did you become a vegan?
I became a vegan, 100% vegan, about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was, I've been yo-yoing up and out of vegetarianism
mm-hmm.
and up and down. And then I slowly, when I to see my inner guide, my inner spirit, I was guided into the best mode my body could recover. So I went into a natural mode. As I wrote my books, then I realized that I have to become a vegan, and that helped me
mm-hmm.
Get the message with more authenticity out to people.
Is your family vegan, or is just you?
No, my wife is vegan.
Oh, she is good.
My wife is vegan, and she always been a better eater than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So she just clicked her heels when I went vegan.
mm-hmm.
my kids have bad experience. I've taught them about this. Some are better behaved than others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult for them to. I'm not going to impose myself upon them.
Right.
I show my example. I tell them to read my books. And I just, when I'm with them, I have fun.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have a plate for me. You invite me, but you better have a vegan plate for me or I'll take my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't drink alcohol anymore, so mm-hmm. I drink something with non-alcoholic beer or non-alcoholic wine, but I enjoy it with them. You know, I just socialize
mm-hmm.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go around telling them not to do that, not to do that. That would be unfair. I'm kind of.
I was vegan. My doctor prescribed that when I had cancer. And that, mm-hmm. again, was very progressive, because that was in 1974. And he put
nobody was vegan then.
Me on a vegan diet, and there was also a rationale for why he did that. And then after the 2 years when the cancer was gone, I started having occasionally some fish and a little bit of chicken. That was it. I haven't eaten beef in probably 50 years or pork.
Well, you're 86. Nothing can go wrong.
Right. And then about three years ago, I developed AFib. And so I went back on the vegan diet. And the other thing that I have found that helps the AFib is cannabis oil.
Yes, it can help you.
CBD oil.
And acupuncture can do the same thing as the cannabis.
Oh, will it?
I've done some research, and the cannabinoid receptors are stimulated by acupuncture. Mm-hmm. So that's why people get happy, and they go to trips when I give them acupuncture, and they walk out of the, you know, kicking their heels. And it has a very good effect. And also alcohol, the limitation of alcohol intake will help AFib.
Oh, it will?
A lot of people are very sensitive to alcohol, and they go into AFib. And so those things, and there's also a lot of medications if you're caffeine sensitive or not. I'm not caffeine sensitive, but some people are very caffeine sensitive. So then you got to cut down on those high caffeine contents and use more teas that are not high caffeine. That's all, you know, you look for options.
And see,
anyway,
I don't eat anything, drink anything except water. I don't drink anything with caffeine, so I haven't had tea or coffee or sodas or any of that for years.
Well, that's the best drink there is, water, pure water.
Right. So I don't have that problem. But the CBD oil, that does help.
Yes.
It doesn't have the THC in it. So
that's very good. I think the studies are, I just did a seminar on that, and the studies have shown the efficiency of that in being a less toxic mode for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I have nothing against its use if it gets you away from opioids and other medications.
Right.
Even if you have to use a bit of TSH in a combination, it's fine for sleeping. I don't mind, because in an adult, the chances of toxicity are minimal. And the only problem with oral mode is that people can overdose if they don't understand that it takes an hour and a half to get the effect. Some people overdose by taking more dose, and then they go into a out cold stage. Nothing's going to happen to them, but they're going to be overdosing. And some kids, you have to watch out, especially the overdosing when you use foodstuff. And they can have severe reactions, and then they go into comas if you don't watch out. So you have to know how to use it. I don't believe in cannabis in people who are younger than 18.
Yeah.
Because there's brain changes and damage. So they have to wait till after 18 to start using it regularly.
Right.
And smoking it, no way.
You can
vaporize it.
Mm-mm.
Because smoking has almost worse tendencies than smoking a cigarette.
Right.
In terms of carcinogenic agents. So if you vaporize it, it'll be less damage to your lungs.
Mm-hmm. It's noted for its work with the arrhythmia. That's why I tried it. And as I say, it worked. But I tried to also keep my minerals in balance.
Magnesium. You got to have...
I use magnesium
in ionic form, nano ionic form. I use my patient at least one drop of 36 per day, 30 drops per day.
Right.
And that's very good for the the arrhythmia and for the cramps and the calves in older people. At night, that's perfect.
And the other thing I usually tend to be low on is potassium. And that's not something that typical of vegans, but it's something that is with me. So I usually end up, I have a kit that it's a taste kit that has the 9 essential minerals, and I can check and see which ones I need, and I almost always need potassium, but I take a lot of magnesium, so that's doesn't usually be a problem. But selenium make it off occasionally, and anyhow, it's a good way.
Well, if you're eating a good balance, also take your yeast. Liquid yeast forms are good. I if I can say a brand, can I give you a brand of a liquid yeast I recommend? Can I say it? Okay, Biostrat. Biostrat is the best liquid yeast athletes use. It's made in Switzerland. It's good tasting, very good tasting. And with 2 teaspoons a day or 1 teaspoon a day, you get all the requirements that you need, vitamins, B12, complexes, everything is there, and amino acids. So that would be great for you.
Yeah, because I know the B12 is something that's often deficient with vegans.
As you get older, even eating vegan, you don't absorb it well. And the stomach, especially the people who use blockers, H blockers in the stomach, they ruin the absorption of vitamins. So I don't recommend H blockers unless it's really in the mouth.
Great. Good. I'll try that. Then you're holistic then in your views and in your practice, and you also have received awards for your holistic approach. Would medical care be better if it were practiced by more doctors?
I think we have to change the educational system of medicine. We have to have a holistic type of medical education where all science-based, which is many now, that has been shown to work in alternative medicine becomes integrative medicine. Take it out from alternative to integrative care and give courses in medical school, train the students to be that way. And after you finish your MD career, then you specialize. You want to be a chiropractor? You want to be an acupuncturist? You want to be a surgeon? You want to be a plastic? Then you do it. But yeah, everybody has to have the background. Nutrition, right nutrition, right actions, emotional situation, spirituality. That's the way a medical school should be in my concept.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be the solution in the end. Then everybody becomes a holistic physician, and then you become a specialist. And that's the way I see it. That's my dream.
And do you have a code for a happy life?
Wow. Let me see if I'm ready for that. Code for a happy life? I think you have to be authentic. Accept your humanity, your frailty in humanity. Accept your mistakes and learn from those mistakes and rebound. But the number one thing is love yourself. Allow yourself to be loved, so then you can also love other beings. It's a balance of love yourself, respect yourself, to being authentic, and then being able to share that love with others.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural. That's a way to be happy, joyful. If you do that, you will be joyful even if you have a disease, even if you don't have the economic situation that you're supposed to have. You're going to be joyful and live a joyful life. I think it doesn't depend on what you have on the outside. It depends how you feel on the inside.
And in our dualistic world, there's dark and there's light and there's good and there's bad and there's all these duality things. And a lot of people see our world as being dark because we haven't come into the light or the spiritual.
I think you have to look at the yin yang sign, the Tai Chi sign. There's darkness within light, and there's light within darkness. I say that in my book. And there's no extremes. We go through cycles of phases. And the darkness has its purpose in our light, and the lightness has its purpose in our dark. That avoids absolute opposals and opposing forces. It battles. It's not really a battle. It's a merging of energy. That's why there are no really battles in the spiritual world. It's learning experiences and notes that we have to learn. So I don't like an opposition. Deep, black or white, no, I don't believe that. Hot and cold, that's Buddhism. I learned that from Buddhism. It's tones. And we are learning from those tones of manifestation and cycles. And we have to adapt and adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the seasons. I mean, can you live? Would you go out in the winter in shorts and sunglasses to go out and play? No, you got to adjust. It's winter. It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the way it is. And our biological organism adjusts to those seasons naturally.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people think that we're moving toward the golden age where we will move away from duality and we'll only...
We are moving into a golden age. But according to tradition, we first have to go to Kali Yuga age. So we still have a couple of more learning experiences, lessons of love we have to go through before reaching a golden age. It is my concept.
Mm-hmm.
So So we have to be ready for, oh, here comes my friend, my visiting bird. They come and visit me once in a while to my office, a beautiful bird, a mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to my office and visits me every so often, beautiful bird. Anyway, that's, what else can we say? I think we covered quite a lot.
If you feel that we have moved any toward that golden age, or...
We are getting better. We are getting better.
Mm-hmm.
There's more people understanding, opening their minds to the concept of being light beings,
mm-hmm.
getting
mm-hmm.
better.
Right.
But there's many behind in that we need to learn in the hard way. So there are things to come that will not be as joyful to some mm-hmm. that will help us learn and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's a love lessons. We're going to have love lessons, and that's the way it is. We can't learn other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot be idealistic that everything is fine. We're going to wake up and the next 100 years we're going to find it. No, it's going to be by stages, and we're growing spiritually, but there are many of us that are still behind, and they're going to have to go, and it's like they're going to have special testings, and they're going to test them hard. And we'll be around to help those things that are a little left behind.
Mm-hmm. And will
we are ready.
Will people progress individually, or will people progress as a group?
In both.
Oh, both. Okay.
The first progression has to be individual.
Mm-hmm.
And the individual progression will impact. And for example, we have to develop a consciousness. First, we have to develop our individual consciousness, mm-hmm. then our family consciousness, then our social consciousness, then our country consciousness. Then we go for the planetary consciousness. And as we go, and then we go for the universal consciousness. So as we develop our spirit and we become more open in mind, we become more integrative. I would say, the word I use, it's the word integrative is not the word I want to use. Inclusive. Mm-hmm. We have to develop inclusiveness in the way you look at life and get away from exclusiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're still excluding many people by race, by sex, by money, and this is not going to help. We have to be more inclusive. And as we become more inclusive, we look like the three musketeers, all for one and one for all.
Mm-hmm. I, in the political realm in this country, I saw Bernie Sanders as being the person that would most bring that about.
Well, Bernie Sanders is a tone, a reflection of the need of a energy of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
But is the nation ready? That question can only be decided by the votes. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I may feel I can be a liberal, I can be a conservative, whatever it is in my own way, my bias. But that is not as important as the individual progression of our own awareness of what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
See, we cannot project the vote, outside vote, as the way we are progressing individually. It does not reflect upon me if the nation goes fundamentalist, right, or populist, if I, in my heart, I'm a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll continue being a liberal in the way I act with other beings.
Is there anything else you would like to say before we look at your services, your book, products, how the listeners can reach you?
I think the best way is to first understand so the message I have both in my books and in my practice is self-healing, responsibility for your disease, in the sense that you have to know that you were a co-creator,
mm-hmm.
responsible for what your body became. But that time when you created that harmony was created by your ignorance. You didn't know about it. So if you were not... If you drink excessively, if you smoke excessively 15 years ago, you're going to live the consequence now, but you don't have to be guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
You already know the consequence, and now you're reacting to it. So get and correct the problem now.
Mm-hmm.
But don't have guilt about it. That's the way it was.
Right.
You have. There's always a way to improve yourself and correct your problems, but don't go around in negative modes and and self-flagellating modes and negative, I did this, or look what I did to myself. No, no, no. Do what you have to do now and correct it. Everything can be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of our lives can be corrected by changing our views about the way we should live.
Mm-hmm.
Remove all toxic lifestyles. Remove all toxic mental products. Remove all toxic medication. Remove all toxic nutrition. That's all you have to do
mm-hmm.
and learn and study. And then my books will only guide you to find your own pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I will not give you the recipe for your healing. I'm sorry. You won't find the recipe. You'll find the guidelines to find your own way of healing. That's what I write about. My mm-hmm. books can be easily obtained from Amazon. I publish with Balboa, but it's easier than Amazon. You can get my ebooks. My ebook for the last book is special of 99 cents if you want to download ebook. It's those who prefer it, but it's easy to get my books and in Amazon, in all over the publishing company. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I want to share.
Do you have a website?
You can find my, my name is so hard to do. So I usually use the ifigueroa.com. But mm-hmm. you look on Google, Ivan Figueroa Otero, or one of my book names, Spirituality 103, The Forgiveness Code, and you're going to get a bunch of information on how to contact me and where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality 103, The Forgiveness Code, or Ivan Figueroa Otero.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find tons of information about me, my pages. I have blogs. I have everything. I'm all over the place. I always write tons of things. So you find everything about
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. And you still see patients, or are you retired?
Yes, I'm seeing active patients right now. One way for me for acupuncture.
Oh. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I see an active patient. I have my appointments are reserved. I only see two new patients per day.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow up maybe about 6 per day to 7 per day.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see too many patients.
Oh, good.
And my practice is very limited. Yeah.
Somewhere I read that you were retired. I don't know where I saw that.
Well, I was retired from pediatric surgery.
Oh.
Remember,
okay.
Remember, I'm a pediatric surgeon, but now I'm a holistic practitioner.
Oh.
I'm an author now. I used mm-hmm. to be a pediatric surgeon until I was 61, 62. Then I tell them my books. I became bored. I didn't feel motivated.
Mm-hmm.
I felt I was not doing what I had to do. Then I switched around, started a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And at 60-something, I started writing at 7 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've written already 4 books. My 4th book has not been published. And I think I'm going to write about 3 or 4 more books.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Well, I appreciate this very much, Dr. Figueroa. And
I appreciate sharing with you. And sharing, giving hope to people that they can find their own healing modes. It's the most important thing in my life.
Great.
Hope.
Good.
That you gave hope to people with your writing.
Right.
Okay?
Great. Thank you,
Carl,
very much.
I love talking to you.
And you too. Thank you.
A lot of blessings to you and to your people here. Okay? Bye-bye.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. And I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, You will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.